T-minus 65. United Nations Headquarters, Manhattan, New York. "You'll have to excuse me, Mr. Ambassador," William Godfrey apologized, stepping away from the French delegation, who he could hardly anger further in any case, to take a phone call from a very infrequent and unignorable caller. Adding to the surprise of seeing Dan McCarthy's name on the screen, Godfrey didn't know what to make of the fact that it was a video call. He stepped into the corridor and quickly entered a vacant office. "Oh, you're all there," he said, the tone reflecting mild unease as he saw both Emma and Clark at Dan's shoulders. "But no Tara. Is she taking care of young Piper?" "Not that it's your business," Emma replied. Godfrey rolled his eyes and puffed out his cheeks. "Come on, Ms. Ford. I thought we were past any personal animos. It's been Mrs. McCarthy for a while now," she interrupted. "But Emma's still fine."
"We're all still fine," Godfrey said diplomatically.
"Indeed we are, and that's why we're calling you. We're all on the same side here, Godfrey, and we need
Chairman Godfrey," he butted in, returning the favor. Dan and Clark shared a tired glance while silence circled, having thought this kind of thing was behind them. But Emma had dealt with the Godfreys of the world for her whole adult life, and she had never steered her inner circle wrong so far. These ridiculously petty power games were apparently part and parcel of dealing with Godfrey's kind, so they stayed quiet and let her get on with it.
"You're actually still Deputy Planetary Liaison, Godfrey, for now," Emma said. "Which puts you one level below my little sister, if I'm not mistaken. And if you want everyone else to call you Chairman Godfrey again, we all know whose public support you need to maintain."
"What was your rank again, Mrs. McCarthy?"
Emma smiled sweetly.
"William, as if I need a title."
Godfrey laughed heartily. As annoying as she could be, he always enjoyed engaging with a good sparring partner.
"Well, given that I'm currently in charge of the United Nations Interspace Contact Agency and preparing to deliver the speech that will seal its fate, you'll understand that my titled time is precious. Dan, is there something you needed to tell me? I was going to call when my final discussions with the holdouts are wrapped up, remember?"
"I couldn't risk waiting," Dan said. He gulped, getting ready to silence his better instincts and tell Godfrey everything about Billy's situation. He knew why he had to do it, but that didn't make it easy. Aside from the personally motivated desire to get the innocent Billy Kendrick out of his Turkish jail cell, there were important strategic reasons to loop Godfrey in before he delivered his final Unica address. Most importantly of all, Emma had stressed, were the huge potential complications should Turkey abstain from joining the new ICA in Buenos Aires now that its government was in control of what was, quite possibly, the most remarkable Earth-based discovery of all time. Put simply, only by telling Godfrey everything could Dan impress upon him the true importance of Dortlutepe, and in doing so, persuade him to do everything necessary to ensure open access to its illuminating carvings and whatever else might soon be unearthed. Additionally, though, it was also important that Godfrey and the new ICA wouldn't be left with egg on their faces in a matter of days if Turkey took the unlikely but possible decision to publicly announce the discovery for one political reason or another. As had been the case throughout her career, Emma strove to make sure that Godfrey, hardly a client, but still a beneficiary of information she was providing, would make a speech which was informed by non-public developments so that he wouldn't say anything that might look foolish when the news broke. Shortly before the call began, Clark had asked why exactly Dan and Emma felt so confident that a man as slimy as Godfrey could be trusted to keep the news out of the media and only use it for the correct purposes of securing the site and freeing Billy. Emma admitted that she certainly couldn't promise that Godfrey wouldn't use the news for his own ends, likely as a lever to throw his weight around the UN's corridors with partial revelations designed to tempt or frighten the European holdouts into joining the new ICA on his terms. That was his real goal, she said, to chair a truly global contact agency, essentially UNICA without the administrative headaches.
His willingness to get his hands dirty had won over President Slater and Chinese Premier Ding Ziyang, who strategically supported the idea of Godfrey nominally heading the agency's day-to-day operations while they remained as appointed deputy planetary liaisons whose combined national power made them capable of removing him at the drop of a hat should he ever get ideas too far above his station. "But Godfrey is a born survivor," she'd explained. "He's been UK Prime Minister twice, even though the public hated him the first time. He weaseled his way to the top of the Global Shield Commission after Disclosure Day. He managed to stick around when that became the Global Space Commission. He somehow won every Western leader's backing with the Global Contact Commission. He bid his time as a joint deputy at Unica, and now he's maneuvered himself back into chairman's seat at the new ICA. What I'm getting at is that whatever else Godfrey is, he's a good politician. He understands politicking, and most importantly, he understands consequences. I don't think I have to tell him what the consequences of leaking any news he gets from us would be. But if I do, then I'll gently tell him that with this news, the stakes are higher than ever." Back in the present, Dan kept all of this in mind. And then, as Timo had to him less than an hour earlier, he began to relay absolutely everything about Billy's discovery and subsequent incarceration. He followed Emma's advice to tell Godfrey to make sure that whoever he had to work with or pressurize to ensure Billy's immediate release also understood that there would be dire consequences, for them, of publicizing what he told them. Godfrey nodded in understanding. "I'll make sure they know they would gravely regret crossing me," he said very flatly. "Although, to be honest, I rarely have to be explicit about such things." Just as Dan was reaching the crucial information about the carvings themselves, Emma waved a finger in front of the phone's screen to simultaneously cut him off and take Godfrey's attention. "Since we're all on the same side here," she said, choosing her words very carefully, "Dan is about to share intricate details of what Billy found, and this is in the strictest of confidence for now. We're telling you purely so you can shape your final UN address with these details in mind, because they'll be public before too long. I'm sure you know the drill. Be careful not to set it up so it'll look like we've been keeping secrets, but bear in mind where the narrative is going. Just like you're treating the news about the shelter on New Kerguelen, speak with it in mind, but don't let it out of your mind when there are 100 cameras pointing at your face." "Of course. PR 101, one might say." Godfrey grinned. "One might," Emma replied dryly. "But there's one last thing to ask before I get to the details. I don't have to tell you how unfortunate it would be if anyone at all made this public in the wrong way, do I? I don't mean to be overly explicit about such things, but since we were talking about things people would gravely regret." "Proceed, Dan," Godfrey said, tacitly acknowledging Emma's threat by not calling it out. At last, Dan then proceeded to detail the remarkable pillars at Dortlu Tepe, which were apparently unmistakably carved to document cable-based communication between a non-messenger extraterrestrial being and humans from a bygone era. "Jesus," Godfrey mused when the story was over, rubbing his chin in genuine shock. "Who else knows?" Emma took over, responding to the same first question she always asked when a surprise came to light. "Other than us, there's Timo, a few of his staff, a Turkish interpreter who lives next door to one of Timo's staff, presumably everyone on Billy's team who are at the site, and then however many people have been looped in by the Turkish authorities."
"I'm extremely glad you called," Godfrey said.
"I also can't pretend I'm not impressed that Fiori handled this so delicately. Dan, you know him better than I do. Is there any chance he might yet come round to working with us in Buenos Aires? I'm still not even clear on why he became so obstinate about things. The Italian government is with us, and between you, me, and these four walls, I was making progress with the Germans even before you told me this. Who knew that playing hardball with the Europeans would have them scrambling to strike a deal at the last minute? Anyway, once they're on board, we'll have as much legitimacy as we did here, but without all the red tape weighing us down." No one spoke for a moment, all seemingly waiting for each other. "Oh, and I might as well ask this now," Godfrey said, his expression brightening. "But can you call Tara in? It's a question for her, too." Unaware of the past night's sisterly tiff, Clark went to get Tara.
She told him she was resting, but the mention of a live call from William Godfrey was enough to get her attention.
Ta-ta,
Piper called from her high chair, speaking for the first time in a while, having quietly watched the other three grown-ups talking to a small phone as if they were strangely behaving characters on TV.
Hey, darling,
Tara said, rubbing the baby's chubby left cheek and making her giggle.
Tara,
Godfrey said. She walked round to get a look at the screen.
Okay, now that you're all there. Dan, Tara, I'd like to invite you both to join myself and Leisha on a four-stop PR tour in the next few days. We're going to visit Buenos Aires tomorrow, then Athens, Rome, and ideally a certain site in Turkey. Turkey was already in my mind, so this is going to work out absolutely perfectly, and I'll have you home again within no more than a week.
What certain site in Turkey are we talking about?
Tara asked, revealing to Godfrey that she hadn't yet been looped in.
It's been a crazy hour, Clark answered. We'll explain in a minute.
Tara raised her eyebrows.
I don't know. Emma doesn't think I can be trusted anymore.
Dan and Godfrey shared a confused look through their respective phones.
Let's maybe not do this right now, huh?
Emma scolded in a low tone. Tara muttered something too quietly for anyone to hear.
In any case, Godfrey went on, the tour?
I don't want to go anywhere, Dan said. I didn't like the way the crowd greeted us in New York. It's bad optics until public opinion is more settled.
And I'm doing the live episode of Focus 2020 on Sunday,
Emma announced.
Well, not officially yet, but they're hardly going to say no.
Oh, excellent, Godfrey said, clearly meaning it. You saw that Geller is on, I assume. I tried to press President Slater to consider a blockbuster appearance to put her in her place, but I'm sure you can handle it. But this tour is a worthy endeavor, bringing Leisha to new locations so no one can keep accusing us of hogging him, you know. And admittedly, I use that lore to encourage cooperation from certain governments whose willingness to break away from here acted as tipping points for certain others to follow. So with that said, Clark, would you consider it? Leisha will most definitely be willing to join me, but I expect only if one of you is present. But, Tara, you'd also be more than welcome on your own. He trusts and likes you, undoubtedly.
I'm not going anywhere,
she replied, glancing at Piper. She knew better than to say it out loud, but she never planned to leave Piper again until everything was fixed. Emma nudged Clark and subtly pulled him aside.
Stall,
she whispered to Dan. He did his best, asking more about the sites in question while Emma spoke to Clark.
Listen, I know what you're going to say about leaving us for a week, but we have round-the-clock Secret Service protection, she said too quietly for anyone else to hear. The best thing you can do for any of us is to go on this tour while I'm doing 2020. We won't have to worry about public opinion forever, just until we get back to New Kerguelen, so we can look outside and try to revive the elders. But right now, the public mood really does count. And as much as Leisha trusts Dan, if he thinks Godfrey and the rest of the ICA are going to be acting against the will of Earth's masses, which must have crossed his mind in New York with the eggs and the paint, they could cut us off. We can't get back to New Kerguelen without them. And whatever we learn in Turkey, we don't have any of those communications cables except the ones the messengers let us use. We need this.
I'll come, Clark announced to Godfrey.
Tara looked at him in shock.
What? Why?
I'll have someone arrange a flight tonight,
Godfrey said, happy to have a McCarthy on board even if it wasn't his first choice of Dan.
You'll have the details soon.
Still, Tara stood in stunned surprise. Emma then quietly told Dan to wrap up the call, which he duly did.
Get Billy out and choose your words well, he said to Godfrey as his final line.
I will, and I will,
Godfrey smiled back.
And thank you all.
Something tells me our lives would have gotten needlessly difficult if you hadn't shared this so promptly.
As the call ended, Dan McCarthy could only hope that he hadn't just made a huge mistake.